Brother Jody wanted me to remind you this evening that there's a work day scheduled for here Saturday. Everybody above the age of 12, 14 years old that you think can work, there's going to be something for everybody to do. He's got a whole laundry list of things that needs to be done. So he is with Brother Chris tonight. Chris is preaching in High Point. So I would ask that you lift up Brother Chris tonight. I can't name the church. He told me the name of it, but I don't remember what it was. But anyway, you pray for him. He should probably be preaching about now or getting ready to preach about the same as we are. So not just Brother Chris, but anywhere that God's man will stand tonight, just pray that God will bless. So in that, and also if you got any visitors here tonight, you're surely welcome. I should have opened up with that, but we just get right into the business at hand. If you've got the deacon recommendation sheets that look like this out, they've been back there and over here, try to get those turned back in. I think we've had about probably 20 or 30 sent turned back in. But if your family still got one of those and you're praying over it, try to get that back to Brother Clayton or one of the deacons, maybe between now and next Wednesday. I'd appreciate it. And then the other thing that we've got, this coming Saturday, my wife and I will be slipping out on you for a little while. We're going to take a little vacation. And during our absence, Brother Kenny will be taking my phone calls in my stead. That doesn't negate the fact that you can always call your deacon. You know who if you don't know who your family deacon is, get with me. We'll get that to you right away. And maybe it's somebody that's so new we haven't even really assigned you a family deacon. But try to get with me and we'll get that taken care of. But if you need something, contact one of your deacons or get Brother Kenny, and I'm sure he'll do whatever he can to help you. We've still got four in the hospital unless Paul Jones' mother come home. I don't know. Does anybody know that? I think she came home and Brother Keith told me that she was back in the ER, if my memory serves me correct. She came home, but now she's back in the ER this evening about church time, but I don't know if she's got to go home. She's being readmitted. That's Paul Jones' mother. She's had two blood clots in her lungs and one behind one of her knees, and they're treating them with heparin and different kind of things. We still got Brother Gary Badgett in Baptist. He's in North Tower, room 801. If you'd like to get a hold of Brother Gary by way of phone or whichever way, you could text him, call him, Facebook Messenger. He's on there because he's just laying there waiting on a kidney biopsy tomorrow. Brother Woody remains in the Asheville Hospital up in at the VA Hospital up in Asheville. So please do remember Brother Woody and Miss Jeanette. And I don't know, Miss Martha. Anybody can tell me Miss Martha got to come home today? Saturday. So Miss Martha's still in room 344 over here at Wilkes. So you pray for Miss Martha Webb. They're looking at her heart, right? Maybe a possible blockage. So you pray for Sister Martha. And I'm sure there's others. Brother Potts, I told them in the prayer room. Last night we saw Brother Potts coming into a restaurant to pick up some food for his dear wife. And I told Cindy as soon as we got in the car, I said, that's what love looks like. And Brother Potts, you blessed my heart. And to see your tears and your compassion and that level of love for your wife, it surely made us pray harder for Miss Jean and also for you. So let's do lift up Sister Jean, Miss Cletha, all those that's in and out of the nursing homes and rest homes for rehab, Miss Mary Sluter, Brother Steve Mahaffey, Cliff and Ray, all those. There's a whole laundry list of people, Miss Janie, Miss Ruth, Cliff Ray, Ronnie, just Sue, Stella, Miss May, goes on and on and on. So let's just remember our older folks and those that can't be here. How many's ready for church? Good to have you back, Brother Tim. You should be ready. He said he took a vacation. I said, from what? And he said, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. So I don't know what we don't know what he was vacating from or what he did while he was there. But anyway, the book of Jeremiah tonight, chapter number 5. Calvary, remember a message I preached here some time ago, and I'm going to preach different tonight than I preached it the first time. I think I preached this here about 7 years ago. Somebody's going to tell me when it was here just in a while, because a lot of you put the date that I preached something in your Bible, and I ain't got no problem with that at all. I don't care if I preached it last week. If God said preach it, we're going to preach it again. But nevertheless, I've never seen a time, I guess, such as we live in. And the Bible says for us to be sober, to be vigilant, which is to be watchful, to be aware, to be looking, because we have an adversary. And he's none other than the devil himself. It's Satan. And the Bible says that we have an adversary, an enemy, a hater of God that is also against us. So be sober, be vigilant, be watchful, like I said, because he's seeking, he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now, you're a Christian, so He's not going to be able to get you, Brother Kenny. You believe in once saved, always saved. He can't take you to hell if he tried to. So what does he do in the meantime? He tries to trick you, and he tries to get you depressed. He tries to get you discouraged. He tries to do all the things that he does. And I'm telling you what, Brother Tammy's good at what he does. He knows Tam Cheek's weakness. I promise you that. He knows what my weakness is. He knows what your weakness is. And it's not just that he knows us, Miss Wanda, but he knows Scripture. You go back to the Bible, you'll find that he knows the Scriptures. Brother Timmy probably knows them better than I do. And I know very little, but I know he knows a lot. And he'll use the Scripture. He'll use things against us that if we're not very, very careful, we won't even know that it's been used. So as we stand tonight all over the God's house into Jeremiah chapter number 5, I do want you to be mindful of what we're doing here tonight. We're trying to enlighten you, trying to make you aware of something and trying to bring your attention to something, lest you end up in a snare, lest you end up in a problem. Now, many of you don't see snares as snares because it doesn't look like a snare. Have I got any turkey hunters in here? Where's my turkey hunters at? Are you a turkey hunter? You just run around with them. Where's my turkey hunters? Raise your hand up. I knew some of you guys were turkey hunters. If you're using a turkey hen decoy, do you hide it under a brush pile? No, where do you put that thing? You want to put it right on the edge of the field. And then you're going to get back with a box call or a diaphragm, and you're going to be back there going, you're going to keep doing that. And then you're going to have a big tom back there somewhere going to answer you. And then you're going to keep going. And then the story goes that he comes out of his hiding place. He flies down off of his roost, Brother Tam. And then he comes into the edge of the field. And he's over there drumming and a strumming and a fluffing his tail feathers. And he's beating his wings. He's beating his chest. And he keeps looking. What's he looking for? He's looking for that hen. Well, guess what? You don't hide that hen. You put that thing right smack dab out in the middle of the field, about 30 yards out with a full choke. And you know what I'm talking about, because whenever Mr. Tom gets close enough, you're going to blow him in the next week, and then you're going to decide whether you're going to roast him or deep fry him or how you're going to fix him or bake him or what are you going to do. But it's all by this. He fell into a trap. But that trap that was sprung for him was a trap in plain view. It wasn't hidden. And a lot of times we think that traps must be buried in the leaves. We think that traps must be subdued. And I want to preach about three types of traps tonight with the help of our Lord. And I want to show you what happens when you end up in one of those. And you might be just amazed that the smallest of the traps can cause you the most of the hurt. Jeremiah chapter number 5. And here, this verse of Scripture lays to rest the fact that you can just keep on sinning and keep on doing and there not be any consequence. There is a consequence. There is a problem for you if you keep doing that. 5:25 of the book of Jeremiah says, "Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxing rich. They are waxing fat. They shine, yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. In the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to do it so, and what will you do in the end thereof?" I ask Brother Tam to bless our scripture reading, and then we're going to bring a message tonight about beware of the snares. You're being seated. I opened up with 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Listen at the book of Joshua chapter 23 and verse 13. It says, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of the nations from before you, but there shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land before the Lord your God hath given you. The book of Luke chapter number 21 verse number 32 says that this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and with drunkenness and with the cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all men that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, to stand before the Son of Man. Now I brought some traps tonight with the help of Brother Joey Combs and also Brother Clay. I've got some traps here tonight, and if I set this trap out in the middle of where the animal was going, and listen to me, we're all creatures of the Almighty, and I set this trap out here, and I asked Brother Clayton, I said, Brother Clayton, you're trying to catch a coon tonight, and what are you going to use, and what kind of bait would you use? And Brother Clayton started talking to me about this old coon trap that I've got right here. Clayton's got a faulty coon trap. Brother Clayton, come up here a minute. No, here it is, I got it. You can still come up here if you want to get in the trap. Where's Clayton at? Brother Ryan, come up here a minute. Put that rod up in there. Up in that little thing right there. You said you're already off track. It's all right. It's all God's time. Undo it just a minute. It'll be worth it. Just hang on. There it is. Go ahead. What are y'all laughing at? Every one of y'all laughing at me tonight are probably going to end up in one of these tomorrow. That's a true story. I asked Brother Clayton if he was trying to catch Mr. Coon, what he would do. And this trap is none other than a regular cage trap or a box trap for a coon. Now, to get Mr. Coon to go in that thing, he's going to use an attractant. He's going to put something in that to attract the coon to go inside of the trap. But not all traps are that way. We've also got some traps up here. And if I've got anybody that's willing that would like to come up here and stick their finger in one of these, I will be happy to oblige you here in just a short time from now. But this is a common leg trap for a bear. And if you wanted to put this thing out, I'd take my feet and I'd put it on either side of this and press this down. I'd take this lever right here and pull it up. And then I'd put this underneath of that so that whenever Mr. Bear comes through there and he steps on this, the trap springs shut on his foot. And then he's hung and he tries to run off through the woods. And this is catching on all kinds of snags and trees and stumps and everything else. So anyway, now we've got a box trap, and then we've got a leg trap. But let me tell you, this leg trap's not going to do the same thing, and it's not going to be the same kind of trap as this one here. I've also got other ones. You got one for a bear. How about one for a fox, or maybe one for a coyote, for some kind of small game? We've got all kinds of traps. You know why I brought so many different ones, and I told you, y'all, that there were going to be different kinds of traps tonight? Is because Satan doesn't have just one trap. If he had but one trap, Brother Tam, we would identify that one trap. And then as we got through the end of that, the acknowledgement, hey, that's a trap, you know what we'd do? We'd do everything but get in that trap. Now, I want to preach about three different types. We're going back to the book of Genesis tonight, as we're going to start out in chapter number 3 in the book of Genesis tonight, and we're going to show you just a few things really quickly as we just walk through the scriptures, and we'll let the scriptures speak for themselves. And there's one other trap over here that I didn't bring up, or two other traps over here that I didn't bring up, but I'll bring this one up. This one here is another box trap, but this one's not full view. This one's going to use a scent as an attractant. This one here, I put me a can of sardines back here in the back, and this the smell on the side of those little tiny fish, as delectable as they are sitting back in there. Oh, Mr. Coon's going to come back here, and he's going to try to stick his paw back through there, and he's going to try every which way he can. Why? Because he can see them in there, and them things look good. I mean, put a little mustard with them, Brother Tam, and maybe a little vinegar, whatever you want to put on them things. Mr. Coon's, he's chomping it, but he wants to get to them. He can see them, but he can't get to them. But then you got this trap. This trap is also kind of like the box trap that we're looking at right there. But this trap right here, it's not going to be, it'll be set the same way, but it's not going to have the same thing. You can't see what's in that because we're going to cut an apple in half and we're going to put the apple way back there in the back of that thing. And this is the rabbit gum. For those that don't know what that is, that's a rabbit gum. It's supposed to look like a hollow log. And as it looks like a hollow log, you put the apple back there in the back. The rabbit comes sniffing around it. He goes in there to get that apple. And when he goes in there, he trips the wire. And then that falls down and Mr. Rabbit can't get out. But there's something about every one of these traps that have something in common. When Mr. Coon goes back here and he steps on this footboard and the trap slams shut, he's not getting out until somebody lets him out. Now, I read all that. I'm going to go and give you the verse that would let you out of the trap because you might need to ponder on that because somebody might already be in one. But in the book of John chapter number 8 and verse number 36, the Bible said that if the Son shall make you free, that what? You shall be free indeed. So Brother Tam comes by here to check his trap, and Brother Tam knows the door's shut. Hey, there's only a couple things that's happened. Either a bird's lit on here, and that bird has tripped his tripwire, and it slammed shut with nothing in the trap. Or, in fact, he actually has a possum, or he's got him a rabbit, or he's got a coon or something back in there. And it's going to be up to Tam to let that thing out of there. It's going to be up to Brother Clayton, if he set this coon trap, to let that coon out of that trap. But let me tell you, it's not that easy when it comes to men. The Bible said that they set a trap and they catch men. Who was that? It's wicked men. It's wicked women. The Bible teaches us in the Bible to not even let women take you with their eyelids. To be careful around the strange women. And that's in the book of Proverbs. It's very clearly laid out. And if we were to take you to Potiphar's house, you can find out that there was a trap set for a boy by the name of Joseph. And you better believe it. But Joseph didn't end up in the trap. Why? Because he was God's man. And God knew what he was doing when he chose Joseph to go down to Egypt's land, and God's providence was all over Joseph, and Joseph was able to recognize that what Potiphar's wife was doing, Brother Tam, it was nothing more than a trap, and he didn't get into it. But the first of the traps that I want to preach about tonight are those traps of subtlety. And you'll see in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, in verse number 1, that the Bible said the serpent was more subtle, or he was more cunning, he was more clever, he was a slyer, he was more sneaky, whatever you want to call, sleight of hand, than any other beast of the field. And when we read that scripture, look what it said. And how did he do it? Brother Ryan, he did it very cleverly by putting a question mark where God had to put a period. If you'll read that for yourself, Genesis 3 and 1, the Bible said that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And here's what he said, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, God hath said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And there's a question mark there. Let me tell you, if God puts a period, bless God, that better be a period. Don't you start trying to circumvent God's word or go around God's word, because what happens is, through the subtlety of Satan, Brother Tam, and these traps of subtlety are this. You keep going where you go, you keep doing what you do, then Satan will lay a trap. It might not be a trap of full view. It could be one of these that he hides in your path. And what this trap is, if you don't know how this thing works, whenever you set that thing, what you would do is you'd open the jaws of that thing up, and then you cover it up, Brother Tam, with leaves. There's no attractant scent. As a matter of fact, you'd want to use some kind of an over scent. Maybe hide your clothes in cedar shavings. Maybe put some fox urine on your boots. You're going to disguise your own or mask your own odor so that whenever you're setting the trap, the game that you're trying to catch doesn't smell you. But you put that thing where they go. And I'm going to be honest with you, Brother Tam. Satan knows where you go. Satan knows what you do. And bless God, he'll set that trap right in your path, knowing that every day, day by day, you log into that website, you go to that place, you look at that, you do this, you do that. You go by that little honky-tonk, you go by that game room, you go by that tavern, you go by this joint or that joint. And Satan knows everything that you do. And Brother Tam, he's got those traps so well disguised and so well hidden that the trap of subtlety is there, and you'll never know it, Brother Grant. And next thing you know, you're caught in one of them and you're stuck there wondering where in the world, how in the world did I get into this, and where in the world am I at, and how am I going to get out of it? But once that trap sprung, man, it's trouble then. A lot of people say, well, I don't really believe that. Well, it really doesn't matter if you believe it or not. The Bible said it, and that settles it. Satan is subtle. The word subtle means by craftiness or cunning means, by sneaky or sleight of hand. And I'm going to be honest with you. Satan knows how to get people into these traps. I try my best to warn people, and that's what this message is tonight. It's a warning, because people fall into the traps by renaming sin and rebranding sin. We preach messages about this and messages about this. Brother Ryan, if you got to come to me and ask me if it's wrong, Pastor, is it wrong that I do this? You've already know the answer to that. You don't need to go to your family deacon and corner him somewhere saying, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? Bless God, you already know the answer to that. And if you try to get somebody to sign off on it, and I know good old Ryan, he's a good old boy. He wouldn't ever steer me wrong. Ryan, it's not wrong if I do that. A lot of us in how you ask the question. And if you ask the question right, no, it ain't wrong. Do you feel good about it? Or how's it feel to you? Is God going to let you get away with it? Listen, God will let us get away with a whole lot, Brother Tim, but we better watch out, because there might come a reckoning day. There might be a real reward coming on. You may end up paying for that. You've heard it said that you're free to choose, but you're not free from the consequence of your choice. There's a whole lot of truth in that statement. And Brother Tim, those little traps, those little subtle snares are laid all around us. It could be, she could be working beside you at work. He could be working down the aisle from you at work, across the hall in a different cubicle. And you got to watch for these. Why? Because Satan put them there, and he's got them there knowing good and well. They're innocent. You're innocent. Everybody's innocent right now. But what Satan will do is cause the stink to be stirred. He'll make the perfume just a little bit sweeter. And Miss Cindy and I were talking about this, and it come up down at the other church. I preached this message that not long ago. A lot of times it's flattery. He'll tell her what I don't tell her. He'll tell her all the things that I want to tell her. Maybe I just didn't think about it. He'll tell her how pretty she looks. Man, I just now noticed that your hair is different. When did you do that? That's pretty. Lo and behold, Brother Tim, she might have had that haircut for the last 6 months. You just didn't open your eyes to find out. But he's noticed it, and he's telling her how good it looks on her. It might be that he's got some manly cologne on. And have you been wearing that before? I smell that today. That smells good. What is that? Ryan says, it's my He-Man. It smells good on you. Yeah. Annette didn't comment on it, but the other girl did. Next thing you know, you said, I'm going to get two dabs of that. It's a trap. It's a trap. And it's not just sexual sins of subtlety. Yeah, I'll get into that in just a minute. You'll see that. Those are the sins, and those are the traps of sensuality. They appeal to the senses. That's the sardines in the back of the can. That's the apple in the back of the box truck. They appeal to the senses. They appeal to the three that I've used in the prayer room tonight, Brother Tam. The sin, or the, if you will, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They'll appeal right to the very heart of man. They'll appeal to the things that actually pick our curiosity. I wonder about that. I wonder about her. I wonder about him. Let me tell you, don't fall in that trap, because once the trap's sprung, Brother Danny, you're not getting out of it very easily. Not without some skin in the game. It's going to be hard on you. I'm just going to be honest with you. But the first that I'm preaching about is that subtlety. The one under the leaves, the hidden trap. The one you stepped in unawares. Just because you were at the wrong place at the wrong time. Kept going that way. Should have known better. Probably did know better. But maybe you had your conscience seared as with a hot iron. Being past feeling. The Bible says being past feeling. Maybe your conscience was seared. You're just not troubled anymore. You say, is that possible? It's possible for lost and for saved people. Bible said in the latter day, he'll give them strong delusions that they would believe a lie. They would even be damned. So you got to be careful with these things. I've got all these traps sitting around here tonight. And many of you are looking at them saying, what in the world? Every one of these traps, by different means or different trip levers, different mechanisms, by different attractants, by different devices, are all made for one thing: to ensnare, to catch. Going back to our text first tonight, is that not what the Bible said that Satan did and that wicked men would do? The Bible said, for among my people were found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap and they catch men. I hit a lick on the second trap, the traps of sensuality. This trap is the one that I referred to a little while ago. It's the beauty of what is in the trap. It's the beauty inside the snare. It's the one that daily, and listen, they don't happen and then end. I could take you to the book of where Joseph is being ensnared, if you are trying to be ensnared. Just flip over. You're in the book of Genesis. Just follow me over there. Chapter number 39 of the book of Genesis, and we'll just read it ourselves as we're in there. I want you to see that it doesn't just happen one time. My nephew, Tyler Hall, he preached up here not long ago. Tyler is a trapper's trapper. He knows how to catch them. He catches mink and beaver, muskrat, otter, coyotes, foxes. He catches it all, don't he, Ryan? He just got a knack for it. He's a regular little Daniel Boone. He'd go to his Facebook page and look at it. He's got everything. As a matter of fact, he just killed a 400-pound bear this week. The boy's just a regular outdoorsman. And I was talking to him, how you catch this? You got to be persistent. You got to keep after it. I guarantee you he don't go set one trap at the beginning of the season and then go back 3 months later to see if there's anything in it. No, you walk your trot line every day. You said, I thought it was a trap line. It's a trot line, actually. And you walk your trot line every day to go and see what you've got inside your trap. Some will be sprung without anything in it. Some will be there and you got the wrong animal. I'm going to set that thing loose. A lot of times you have to set a fox loose. You were trying to catch a coyote, and he had to turn an old gray fox or a red fox loose. But anyway, Brother Tim, Joseph in chapter number 39, it was a daily thing. It was day by day by day that she come after poor old Joseph. Bible said in verse number 4 of the 39th chapter that Joseph found grace in the sight of God. I want to start with that. Bless God, you better have a little grace on you. If you're going to avoid some of these problems in life, you're going to avoid some of the teeth of these snares, you better have a little grace applied to you. And then it goes down to verse number 7. It said, it came to pass that after these things that his master's wife had cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused, and he said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in his house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept anything back from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? It wasn't just against Potiphar, but bless God, he said it's against God. And it came to pass as she spoke to Joseph, what's them next three words? Day by day. Every single day she was there, and every single day she was a summoning Joseph and saying, come and lie with me, lie with me. And day by day by day by day, all she was doing was saying, get into my trap, get into my trap, get into my trap. But Brother Tam, Joseph refused to get into that trap, and then it comes down, you keep reading right there, and the Bible said that she said, every day lie with me. And then the Bible said he wasn't going to do it. He said, it's against my God. But day by day that he hearkened unto her to lie with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men in the house there with him. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Bless God, what did he do? He recognized the trap, and the trap was set, but he said, I'm not going to get into that trap. And bless God, Brother Tim, that's when he fled. I wonder how many people, if Potiphar's wife was anything to look at all, no other men in the house, no other witnesses, nobody there. I wonder how many men would have said, master's gone. I'm not married. Oh, yeah, she's married, but she's beautiful. Ain't nobody going to find out. But you see, Joseph knew that God would know. Joseph understood that it was a trap and that God would know. You said, yeah, but he still ended up in prison and met the baker and the butler. That was the providence of God that he would go down to Egypt and become second in the land. But he didn't fall in that trap. He avoided it. But that trap was one of those of sensuality. Had all the accompaniments to say, come here, lie with me. Appealed to all the senses, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. I can be with the king's wife. I can be with a Pharaoh's wife. I can be with somebody important. He said, not me. I'm not going to sin against my God. And he didn't fall into that trap. That's a full view trap. Brother Tam, that's the turkey. That's the hen out in the middle of the field. He didn't fall for it. Duck decoys floating out there on the edge of the water. Duck man back in his blind. Duck dynasty here. got your duck mallards out there and got all your duck decoys out there. Here they come in, blasting them away. What was that? It was a trap set. Duck decoys in plain view. And they fell right in there to it. Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs 6, chapter number 23. Look with me real quick. Proverbs 6 and 23. Proverbs 6 and 23 says these words. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of correction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. What are you saying, preacher? I want to say this to you. There's a reason that if you contact me and say, Pastor, can we meet? What's the first thing I do? And there's many women in here that have done it. Have I not said, let me get my wife, Miss Lynn? Don't I say, let me get Miss Cindy? You've said, Mark, Preacher Mark, can I talk to you? You might have something on your heart. And that's great. You need to talk to me. I don't care if it's you or who it is. I will say, let me get my wife. Why? Because I don't want to get into a trap. You said, yeah, but there ain't nothing wrong with that. It's purely innocent. We don't know what Satan's going to do when we get to that point. You said, yeah, but there wasn't nothing going to happen. And Miss Lynn said, Lord knows nothing's going to happen to you, you ugly thing. And I ain't worried about that. The Bible does not tell me to abstain from evil. It tells me to abstain from the appearance thereof. And if I keep meeting one of you beautiful women over here, day by day, in my study, and my wife's at the house, and I'm over here, and my car keeps coming, and her car keeps coming, the next thing you know, Brother Ryan, we might be like the great man in our life that fell from his position, and you know who I'm talking about, that started counseling a woman in his office, and the next thing you know, he's left his wife, and he's now married to that woman, no longer preaching God's word. He's doing a work for God in a different venue, in a different means and manner, but he's not preaching God's word anymore. Why, Brother Tammy? Fell into a trap. It's closer to home than you think. I've got an uncle whose wife, I'll save names, got an uncle whose wife met a man. Christian, saved as God can save somebody, Brother Tam. Left my uncle in November in a grave in January. He fell into a trap. Ryan knows. You said that's the same one that was having, that's another uncle, another situation. It's closer than you think. But these are it's not the sin, it's not the trap of subtlety, although it can be in both. This is the trap of sensuality. It appeals to all the things that a man's looking for and thinking about. It appeals to that a woman is appealed to. Brother Ivy, the devil knows our weakness. He knows our trap. And if we're not careful, you young boys and you young girls will step right into that, because he said, if you love me, and next thing you know, he just set the trap. But if you love me, she'll say, if you love me, next thing you know, you're at odds with one. Well, I'm not staying in this relationship. If this thing don't go the way I'm wanting right now, guess what? The trap was set. You got one of two ways to go. Get in it or run, flee from it and get away from it. So the first one was a trap of subtlety. The second one is a trap of sensuality. And then I want to hit this last one, because I find this one to be very devious and very harmful. I showed you all these traps, but the Bible says that it's the little foxes that destroy the vines. Now, I got one here that probably, how many of y'all have never seen some of these? Raise your hand. Laura, y'all have not seen some of these big old bear traps. I wouldn't have if Brother Joey Combs had not brought them out. I think that's how he got, where's Miss, are they here tonight? Chastity? Oh, good. Whew. I think that's how he got Chastity, set a trap. What's this? Really? Ain't that cute? Stick your finger in it. Uh-uh. Put your tongue in it.
No, sir. My mama didn't raise no boat.
Archie, you will.
No, I won't.
Let me have your earlobe. Where's Brother Derek Bumgarner? I know he's preaching on toenails the other night. Come here. Put your toe in here. Can I tell you that you can get out of that trap if somebody lets you out? You can. It's on your ankle. But you can get out of it. Do you realize when that door slams shut, you're still alive inside of that thing? You know what you're doing, Brother Tim? You're going from corner to corner, turning around if there's room enough to turn around, and trying to figure out, how am I going to get out of this thing? If you're in that, and that rabbit's back in there, he's probably trying to wonder, how in the world am I going to get out of this hollow log? I got in here and I've got jammed up, and I can't get out of here. But I want to tell you something. When this thing does this, guess what? That's a death trap. You say, what's the difference in all of them? I just told you. This is a death trap. You say, what's the difference in that? This is a sinister trap. And the sinister trap is set sometimes when somebody mixes prescription pain pills and alcohol. You got prescription pain pills and alcohol. You know what that is? That could possibly be a death trap. And if you get into that trap of mixing some type of barbiturates and some type of alcohol, you know what, Brother Ryan? That could very well be a death trap. And you took that thing. Satan said it won't hurt you. You've done it before. And you've had this before and you did it before. And it was a trial run. Well, guess what? It just might catch you. It's the one that drinks way too many alcoholic beverages and gets behind the wheel of a car. They saw the fun, the frivolity on the beach or by a swimming pool. Everybody's scantily clad and they drinking and having a good time. But what Satan won't show you is that head-on collision up here on some of these little curvy back roads. Whenever somebody, a family of two or three or four, was coming home from a revival, and this is nothing more than sinister traps of Satan set. They're death traps. Somebody's lost and undone without God, and he's trying to take them to a devil's hell. The Lord's wanting to set them free. The Lord's wanting to save them, and they end up in a death trap. And the next thing you know, our brother Jake's running a call of somebody up here that's wrapped around a tree somewhere, and they get them out, and we read about in the paper and said alcohol was a factor. How many times do you see that? Speed was a factor. Alcohol was a factor. You know what, Brother Tim? That was a death trap. Not getting out of that one. Run around, Miss Shirley couldn't get out of that one, could she? How sad was that? That's so sad. I remember the phone calls that I've gotten over the years. Go with me to the book of Judges. Just flip just a couple pages over there. You're right there in the Old Testament. Just flip over to Judges just a minute. Numbers, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Judges chapter number 16. Listen, I don't use a lot of illustrations. Y'all know that I don't. I used one Sunday. The runner. I'm using one tonight. I don't use a lot of them. I started to preach this message on Sunday night. God went a different way. Brother Clayton had put the traps over here in the hallway. Didn't you, Brother Clayton? I just didn't feel led to go that way. God showed me a different way. We went a different way Sunday night. God said, preach it tonight. So we're preaching it tonight. Why? Somebody was not here Sunday night that's here tonight. Somebody needs to hear this. The sinister. I told you, I was going to give you the definition of subtlety, of sensuality, and sinister. The traps of subtlety are just by craftiness, by cunning means, the sneaky, sleight of hand, they're hidden in the leaf kind of traps. The sensuality, the traps of sensuality are appealing to the fleshly or carnal desires of man for an appetite of gratification. Sensuality. I got to get to those sardines. I got to get to that apple. Boy, I got to get to know her. Some of them could be all three. Because David saw Bathsheba bathing on the rooftop. That wasn't nothing but a trap. Satan said it and said it well. David comes out, looks. To look, I can look at that trap all day long. Wow, look at that woman bathing on the roof. Who is that? Next thing you know, bring her over here. Next thing you know, he's with her, carnally speaking. Next thing you know, brother, the door shut. And when the door shuts, you know what happens after that? You get a word of prophecy. God used Nathan to tell you a little story, to tell you about that trap. And then he tells you the verdict concerning the trap. He said, there's a sword, and it's in your house, and it's never going to leave you. You say, what's that all about? Well, Amnon raised his half-sister Tamar. Guess what? They're both children of the king. Absalom then rose up and slew Amnon. You say, what's that? That's the son, the brother of Amnon. See, the sword is in his house. The door was shut. Could have been appealing to his flesh. Could have been appealing to his pride. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. I'm the king. I do whatever I please. It caught him. We're here in the book of Judges tonight, chapter number 16. Just very quickly. I find this to be a very sinister trap. I told you the definition of subtlety: by craftiness or cunning means, by sneaky or divisive measure, by sleight of hands. The trap of sensuality is appealing to the fleshly desires of man for the appetite of gratification. And then lastly, the trap of nothing more than sinister means. This is relating to evil, to deceit, that leads to harm or destruction. As set by Satan. For no other reason, Brother Charles, but because Satan is the archenemy of God. He hates God. And because he hates God, he hates you. The Bible said, beloved, think it not strange if the world hates you. They hated him first. They did. And they're going to hate you because you love him. And they're going to hate us. But it's a sinister trap whenever Satan just wants to bust up a family because they know that that family has got a husband that's preaching and a daughter that's a singing and a wife that's trying to do a right and lead Bible study or do this. The Satan, Brother Tim, he just wants to bust that family up. He's not trying to appeal by any other means, but for sinister reason, he can't get my soul and take me to hell, Brother Ken. He can't take you to hell if you're saved. But by sinister means, he'll get to you, preacher, and he'll do it for no other reason than to destroy your testimony, to try to kill your good character, to rob you of your joy, to steal your testimony, to take out your influence. Did he not tell us in the book of the Revelation that remember thy first love and return will do what I first told you to do? He said, or else I'll remove your candlestick. Brother, I'm telling you, God can remove your candlestick. He'll use whatever. And I'm telling you, Brother Tim, Satan's doing his job to help. Satan's trying his best to help by sinister means. He's setting traps just to try to tear up God's family, God's church, God's people. We're in that book of 16th chapter of the book of Judges tonight. There's a man by the name of Samson. Wherein lies your great strength, O Samson? Day by day, there it comes again. She pressed him. Wherein lies your great strength? Day by day, day by day, he laid his head in the lap of sin. I'm telling you what, that was a big trap. Samson didn't see it. It was sinister. It was for no other thing. You said that was one of sensuality. It had all the earmarks of all three, but this was nothing more. To find out where Samson's strength lied that the Philistines might destroy God's children. Damn, that's all it was. They stripped him of his, took him off his hair, and what'd they do? They said, we got him now. Put him out there making sport, grinding their corn, grinding their grain, brother. They took him away from God, broke his fellowship, took his freedom, gouged out his eyes. And I guess one of the saddest things, Brother Tim, he didn't even know it happened. Do you realize that? He didn't even realize it had happened. Because the Bible said he jumped up as he had aforetime and flexed himself and wist not. What's that? Where's that scripture at? I know it's in there. The Bible said that he jumped up and he flexed himself as he had. Verse number 20. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and I will shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He didn't even realize he ended up. He wasn't just in a box trap. He wasn't in a rabbit gum. He was in a death trap. And there wasn't any means out of that. He prayed unto the Lord, howbeit the hair began to grow again. And he said, Lord, avenge me of mine eyes. And he asked to be put between the pillars. And bless God, that was a death trap. You said, yeah, but he killed him. He brought the house down, but it cost him his life. That was a death trap, and he got in that thing. I wonder how many people are in a trap tonight. I wonder how many people are walking around the trap tonight looking in there thinking, man, that looks good. I wonder if I should try that. I wonder how many people are going day by day. Let's just set these things out here. If these were bouncing Bettys, or if these were maybe claymores, or maybe some kind of other trap. Brother Dennis, y'all know them terms better than I do. Maybe it was a minefield. You ever see them people doing the minesweepers? What are they looking for? They looking for something that you're about ready to step on. And they'll go ahead of you trying to sweep a field. But every day you go through there. And every day, Brother Tim, you're walking all around them. Satan says, okay, I saw what he did yesterday. I'll reposition this one. I'll reposition this one. I'll get him tomorrow. Well, guess what? You go the different way tomorrow. Oh, same direction. Maybe you just missed it again. You know what odds of probability are, Miss Jan? He'll get you. Because you keep going the same way the same time. Keep going that direction. He'll get you. He will surely, sooner or later, he will get you. It could be that right now somebody in this church is living in a life trap. Door's already sprung behind you. You're sitting on the inside looking out saying, how in the world, preacher, am I ever going to get out of this mess that I'm in? I took a chance and I got caught. Now you're facing all the things that come with it. A 16-year-old now trying to figure out how in the world am I going to buy diapers. A 14-year-old figuring out, how am I going to afford Similac or Enfamil? You said that don't happen here at Calvary. Afraid it happens everywhere. It happens everywhere. Brother Kim, isn't it amazing that Satan knows where we go, what we do? What it's going to take to get Grant may be different than what it takes to get Tam. What it takes to get Tam may be different than what it takes to get me. But he knows us better than we know ourselves. And he'll set those things around us. Like I said, somebody here tonight may already be in one. You may be walking around one right now looking in. You're smelling it. You're looking. Trying to figure out, I wonder if I can get that. I wonder if I can get my hand in and out of there fast enough to get that cheese. The cheese is on the trap. I wonder if I can get in there quick enough to get that. You keep trying it. Let me set this one for you and see. You're not that good. And if you are that good, the odds might be in your favor this time. You got out. You sneaked away with one. Woo! Got away with one that time. How about when you take that last chance and it was a death trap rather than another one? Once that door slams, like I said, you're not getting out till you're let out. I know there's TV personalities and TV people. What was one of the first 16 and pregnant people's names? Anybody? Wait, don't answer. What was one of the first TV stars on the hit TV show 16 and Pregnant? What was that girl's name? Spit it out. Somebody knows it. Y'all watch that show? Yeah, you do. What was her name? Nobody here knows what I'm talking about. There's a TV show called 16 and Pregnant. Juanima knows. Look at her. What was her name, Juanima? Her name was Macy. Her name was... I'm not making light. This is not funny. It's a true story. They glorify 16 and glorify pregnancy. And there was a show that come out, had big ratings. 16 and Pregnant. And what it did, it followed this 16-year-old girl, unwed, unattached, followed her pregnancy from start to finish. I would not glorify sin. I don't put a stamp of approval on sin. And sometimes when we take a stand against that, you'll get ostracized. You'll get called names. You'll be called old-fashioned. You'll be cut off. I'm telling you what, I thought I was going to get kicked out of my family because it happened in my family. Thank God it wasn't with your family, Ryan. It could have been. You had two daughters. I had two daughters. It could have been my family. But I'm telling you what, I guarantee you there was a trap set for her. There was one set for Mara. There was one set for Stephanie. There was one set for Carrie. There was one set for Cindy. There was one set for Annette. There was one set for Shirley. There was one set for Preacher Kenny. Brother Kenny, it's only by the grace of God that we're where we're at. It's only by the grace of God that any of us are doing anything. That we're even standing and preaching is by the grace of God. Because if I could take my screened life and roll it out on that big screen, man, you wouldn't want me as your pastor. I guarantee you wouldn't want this man as your pastor. You'd find you somebody else. But I'm telling you what, we've not all been without these things that I'm preaching about tonight. Brother Scott, come and get us one verse of some song tonight. The devil knows he knows the size of trap. He knows the manner of trap. He knows the different attracted sense. He knows the placement of the trap. He knows what it's going to take to break up a church. He knows what it's going to take to keep the lost lost. He knows what it's going to do to get the saved out of God's house. He knows. And listen, it's not just about keeping the lost lost. It's about getting Ken Hunsucker's testimony totally obliterated that nobody believes that you are saved. Or nobody wants to hear him preach anymore. I know what he was. Bless God, Brother Kenny, they'll always remember what you was. Satan will remind you of that too. And he'll remind them of what you used to be. Bless God, just keep walking worthy of the vocation. Show them wrong. Somebody asked me not long ago, said, how do I prove them wrong? I said, keep living for God. Don't listen to the naysayers. Don't listen to them. Don't give into that junk. Just keep walking with God and prove them wrong. You don't have to tell them anything. Just live for God. They'll see it. As we stand tonight,